Okay, the next talk's entitled STP Relaxation with Randomized Rounding for Energy Disaggregation. Authors are Kirash Shalodegi, Andras Georgi, Shaba Shespavari, and Wilson Zhu. And Kirash will give the talk.
Thanks. Hello. Today I'm going to talk about STP relaxation with randomized rounding for energy disaggregation. Just the correct pronunciation of my supervisor, it's Shaba Zepeshwari. Home appliance load monitoring, as it's clear from its name, monitors energy consumption of individual appliances at home. There are lots of benefits for doing such a practice. It helps with saving energy by providing feedback about energy consumption. It helps also to find potential areas for finding areas that we can invest in more efficient product. And the last but not least, it increases energy safety by alarming you, for example, about accidentally running stove. There are two main ways for doing energy monitoring, intrusive and non-intrusive. Intrusive way uses a dedicated sensor for each appliance to collect data. The second way, which we are interested in this research, it's a non-intrusive way. It uses the data from already installed smart meters, and it uses machine learning and signal processing techniques to decompose total power into individual appliances. It's cheaper since smart meters are already there. However, it's less accurate, and we try to make it accurate. Underdetermined problem, non-intrusive method, it's an underdetermined source separation problem, also known as cocktail party. At each time step, there is only one measurement and several appliances that need to be identified. In mathematical terms, there are fewer equations than unknowns, which means there are infinitely many solutions. Here in this figure, you can see an example of cocktail party. Simpsons are talking, and there is only one mic to record their data. Tons of research has been done in this area. Usually people treat this problem as a classification task. However, there are other works that consider the temporal structure of data to increase disaggregation efficiency. Indeed, the state-of-the-art method has been done by Coulter and Yakula in 2012. They used a factorial hidden Markov model for this purpose. We will come back to this work later. Just consider a TV. There are four different possible states. It could be on, off, standby, or in standby or black screen, which happens when you're changing channels. And in this figure, you can see the state space for TV. In each state, TV consumes some power. Let's roll out this state space model into time. Here you can see each Markov chains represent an appliance, and you can see they evolve independently of each other. And here you can see power consumption, total power consumption, which are summation of power consumption of different appliances. We could use original HMM by combining the states in this red square. However, by using factorial form, we will have less parameters. Doing exact inference for factorial models, it's intractable since computation grows exponentially with number of factors. There are standard approximate methods, which are Markov chain Monte Carlo method and variational Bayes method. Indeed, we tried both of them, and we couldn't find a good solution. And I will be really happy to talk to those who think that variational model works with factorial HMMs, and we can talk after this talk or in the process session. In this figure, you can see a real signal for a stove. Let's see how we can model it by HMMs. You can see there are some power levels in this signal. For each power level, we consider a state, and we defined mu as a vector which elements our average power consumption at each level. Defining the XT as a state vector, which represents the state of a system at each time, output power became XT transpose multiplied by mu plus some noise. Doing the same for all appliances, maximum likelihood estimation can be defined as minimizing the log posterior function. Considering Gaussian noise, M appliances, and K state for each, we will get this minimization problem. The first term here tries to minimize error between YT, which is a real signal, and our estimation. And in second term, you see P, which is a transition matrix. Its elements shows the probability of going from one state to another state for an appliance. And this term controls the number of switching. You can see also we have a linear constraint here. The linear constraint job is to make sure XT is a state vector. But what does state vector means? It means for each part for an appliance, we only choose one state at a time. Solving this problem is challenging, and we will do relaxation later. However, in order to get a good relaxation, we add some extra information to help us to good solution. You can see a real signal here. This you can see big jumps in this figure. It jumps means an appliance changes its state, and we try to match a power jump with a change of state of appliances. For sure, we cannot do this since we have noise. However, we can define a penalty term like this to incorporate in this extra information in our formulation, that you can see it here. Lambda in this formulation is a weighting factor. By removing some clutters, we will get this nice problem. Nice, it's beautiful. Not nice to solve. You can see the second term, it's non-convex, and we have integrality constraint. More importantly, this problem, it's a large-scale optimization problem. For example, for one-day data with 1 hertz sampling, 10 appliances, and 4 states each, we will get 3.5 million decision variables. And to be honest, we are not aware of any global optimization package that can solve this problem precisely. Our plan is to relax the second term and replace the integer quadratic part, this first term, with an STP relaxation. Let's do it together. For first term, relaxing the first term, second term, we introduce ZT and non-convex constraint that ZT equals to XT, XT plus 1 transpose. This new constraint is non-convex, and we will replace it with two linear constraints that you can see them here. At this point, I need to mention that Coulter and Yakula arrive at the same formulation. However, by considering unnecessary assumption that only one appliance changes its state at a time, from here, they simply relax the integrality constraint and solve the problem. However, we do not like this solution since we have this quadratic term here, and the quadratic term pushes the result into the middle. Our plan is to linearize the quadratic term. For doing so, we introduce XT and we linearize big XT, and we linearize the quadratic term. And we introduce a non-convex constraint, XT equals to small XT, XT transpose. And we relax this constraint and integrality constraint to the constraint that you can see them here. This constraint says big X minus small X, XT, X transpose are positive semi-definite. The constraint here, this diagonal constraint, makes sure that since we have 0 and 1 variables, and by squaring them, we get themselves. And here we have the range of variable. At the end, we got this STP problem, which our desired result are the main diagonal elements of this big X. We know all that interior point-based method can solve this problem efficiently. However, the running time in our problem is prohibitive, since we have 3 million variables and the running time is n to the power of 3.5. In this figure, you can see the block, the structure of D matrix. You can see it has a really beautiful block diagonal structure, which means we can decompose the problem into T smaller problem. However, this is not the whole picture. We have this constraint here, which couples the variable together, and this red squares in here shows how these variables are coupled together through this constraint, and you can see these squares are overlapping. Still, we decompose the problem into T smaller problems, and we will use ADMM to solve the problem iteratively. ADMM works with problem of this form, that we have two variables that are linked together through a constraint, and it optimizes the variable in an alternative fashion. We do like this. We start from first block, we solve the problem, we go to the next block, solve the problem, and we do this until the end. And we go back, we jump back to the first block and do it iteratively until convergence. You can see time complexity of our result here. You can see it's linear with T, which is the size of our, they scales linearly with T, which is size of our data. And we have a cubic terms come from the SVD decomposition in our problem. STP results are non-integer, and we need 0 and 1 variables. We can naively run the result to 0 and 1. However, we can do better than this. We can use a randomized rounding method of Gomez and Williamson, sorry if I'm pronouncing it in wrong way, which has also been recently used by Park and Boyd. The proposed method is a local search algorithm, which works, which specifically works with STP problem. For each block, we generate noisy samples from STP result, and we round them and keep the sample with the lowest objective value. We do this for each block. However, we do it only once. We do not do loops. And you can see time complexity of this method. It's linear with time. Up to now, I explained our method, and let's see some results in this section. We compare a result with structural variational inference of method of Kahramani and Jordan, the method of Coulter and Yakula, and the method of Zhang and his colleagues. Our performance measure is normalized disaggregation error. Here you can see why it's real signal and y hat or estimation at time t for appliance I. We will do two sets of tests for real data and synthetic data. Let's first see the synthetic data sets. Our synthetic data sets, it contains lots of randomly generated HMMs, and we want to see how our method scales with number of HMMs. In top left figure, you can see this blue line, which belongs to variational method. It's kind of bad. We remove it, and we will get this figure here. Here, on this line, we have error, and on this line, we have number of HMMs. The lower the error, the better the result, and you can see the best performance is achieved by our ADMM plus randomized rounding, the blue line. In second, also we want to see our performance in for a real data set. We use REDD data set, which is a data set of labeled data, contains several weeks of data for six different houses. We use spectral learning for training our HMMs. And in this table, you can see the result. I'm not going to explain all of these values to you, so don't panic. Just look at those bold numbers. By the way, the measures here are precision and recall. And a bold number means the method outperforms the other on both measures. Just look at this, our average result, and compare it with KJ method. For approximately the same recall, or precision, it's much higher. And you can see the running time of different algorithm in this table. First, I need to mention that we prototyped our algorithm in MATLAB, and for solving KGA method, we use a commercial solver called MUSEC. The memory requirement is 6 gig for ADMM method plus 14 gig for KGA method. The running time for ADMM plus randomized rounding is 5 hours. For ADMM, it's 2 hours, and for KGA, it's 5 minutes. We expect an optimized C++ version of our code achieve comparable running time. Just to wrap up, we explained, in this presentation, I explained our inference method for, or efficient inference method for factorial hidden Markov models based on STP relaxation and randomized rounding. We take advantage of a block diagonal structure of our problem in order to be able to solve the resulting large-scale STP problem. Just at the end, we expect that our method works well in other application of factorial hidden Markov inference for factorial hidden Markov model, and it helps with large-scale integer quadratic problems that have some structure similar to us in them. At the end, thank you so much for your attention.
Please come to the microphones to ask questions.
Thanks for an inspiring talk. And I wonder why you somehow jumped over a natural LP relaxation for your problem. So you considered quadratic relaxation and then SDP one. And the reason between, I mean, instead of, it seems that your data term, although it's quadratic, have a natural like linear.
From this part?
Even before.
Okay.
Yeah, this one. Okay. So since XT is basically a binary variable, if you take this squared, it seems that there is a simpler representation for this data term. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. The quadratic term, it's widely known that the quadratic terms does not go well with integer problem. It pushes the result to the middle. We want to make it linear in order to search the corner of the space. Also, this is a standard technique called lift and projection. We lift the problem to a higher dimensional space in order to be able to get a tighter approximation for our set. Indeed, in projecting to a higher space and projecting back, we will get a space with lots of edges, which works better. This is a standard technique.
You would need this lifting also for LP relaxation, I guess. But OK, I see. It's not maybe not that straightforward, but I would like to discuss it in your post.
OK, we can discuss after or during poster session. Yeah, I will be happy.
Hi.
Hi.
So first, I think your work is very exciting application of convex optimization. And so yes. Concerning the application, so I don't really know electrical engineering. But I think some appliances change the phase between the current and the voltage, right? So that would be some additional information you could account for to get a better result, maybe?
Really good point. We try to develop our method with only active power. Yes, there are active power, reactive power, and in North America there are different phases, phase A and a phase B. We can use this extra information in our model. However, we try to keep it as simple as possible and use less information. Yes, we can do all of those extra information.
Thanks. But do you think it would still be a SDP, or you would have to maybe solve another way?
No. It is really easy. Just you can add them. Just this. You can add this information easily to this. Problem. I will tell you, it's difficult to explain it here. I need to maybe write it down to you to show you how you can do it, but I promise you that you can do it.
All right, I believe you. Thanks.
Thanks. Any other question?
Yeah, if this mic is on. So maybe there's...
Where are you? Okay,
hello.
Hi.
So maybe this is something that I missed in the presentation. One of your slides showed that as you increase the number of HMMs that you were using, the performance was dropping. Was that runtime or was it that accuracy?
No. Here. You can see here, by increasing the number of HMMs, the performance drops. We have normal. We have error. Here we have best performance, and here the performance is not. It's less good.
Yeah. So then the question is, like, more HMMs would give you a more flexible model. At least my understanding. I'm not very familiar with the field. Why does the error?
Sorry, I didn't get your question. What?
So my intuition would be using more HMMs would create
more what?
More HMMs creates a more flexible model. I'm not familiar with the area. I'm just wondering why do all methods increase in error as you increase the number of HMMs?
Okay, increasing the number of HMMs means increasing the number of unknowns. Just consider we have one equation and several unknowns. By increasing number of HMMs, more unknowns, and definitely performance degrades. This is no question. Yes, increasing the number of appliances give you flexibility to model more appliances, but this is the nature of the problem, and we cannot do anything about it.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let's thank our speaker again.